Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus. The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Well, I'm glad to be home, and I'm glad for all your prayers. When you travel abroad, and work very hard to do things for the network, to get it on in various places, but to meet the right people and do the right things. So we want to thank you for your prayers. Tonight, I would like to speak about Mother Teresa. Mother and I spent 8 hours together, a few of our sisters on the airplane going to Rome one day, some years ago, and I'm hoping and praying that tonight we can speak of this woman who had what I consider awesome holiness, a woman we can be proud lived in our age, you know, because I just hope we go beyond the social work. There's a kind of new theology out today. It says something like, well, if you do social things and you help the poor and you do all of these things, no matter what your personal life is, you know, you can be an adulterer, you can horse around, you can cause scandal, but if you're good to the poor, what happens? You're going straight to heaven. I don't think so. So before I start talking about our beloved Mother Teresa, who I'm sure went straight to heaven, but she sent many souls there, I would like to speak to you this evening about the real Mother Teresa. The one I think she would like me to speak about. I'm going to begin with chapter 13 of Corinthians. I got a prayer sheet that's kind of mangled up here in my pocket, but I'll get to that later. Mother Teresa was a perfect example of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And then we want to talk about her a little more so that we praise Mother Teresa, we pray with her, we pray for her for the right reason. We have a tendency in our day to put the cart before the horse. Mother Teresa put the horse in front of the cart. I want to read this and kind of paraphrase it, and I want you to have Mother in mind, because we have a saint of our own day. It's not somebody in the past, and I am not against saints in the past, you know. Don't write me a letter and say, well, what's wrong with St. Teresa or St. Cundigundus or St. Gertrude? Nothing's wrong with them. They're all in his kingdom, and I love them all. But they didn't live in our century. We didn't see him over and over. So I think we need to look at Mother Teresa and say, hey, she belongs to us. She's our saint. Now, St. Paul says here, be ambitious for the higher gifts. And he says, I'm going to show you a way better than any other ones. Some people think, if I fast 3 times a week, I'll make it. It's a beginning, you know? If I forgive my rotten neighbor, I'll make it. Yeah, it's a beginning. If I don't get my husband too much trouble, I'll make it. Beginning. But St. Paul tells us how to make it, and Mother Teresa was a perfect example of that. St. Paul says, if I have all the eloquence of men and angels, wouldn't that be great? I would like to take this on now, because if I did have the tongues of angels, but I spoke how? Without love. What does that mean? If I was so brilliant that I could speak 7, 8, 9, 10 languages, I think it'd be wonderful to rattle off German to this one and Italian to that one, French to this one, and end up in English somewhere. I can't. But he said, if I could do all of that, but I didn't do it out of love for Jesus. That's what this says. It doesn't say just love. If I didn't do it from the love of Jesus in my heart that overflows. You see, Mother Teresa did that. She didn't care about anything. She just looked at people in their worst condition, some with maggots all over them, and she would go down and kneel down, and she saw who? Jesus. She saw love. Let's see what else she did. If I had the gift of prophecy, understanding all the mysteries there are, and I knew everything. You know, we're in television 16 years, and it's amazing to me. We were in the airplane, and they had the news on the plane. It's going 624 miles an hour, and you're getting news. I said, God, there's no peace even on an airplane. But you see, if I knew, how is that done? There's a telephone right there, and you could pick it up and call anybody you wanted. How? I don't know how. It's a mystery. But if I had all that knowledge, and if I had faith in all its fullness to move mountains, oh, can you imagine that? But I didn't love Jesus. If the love of Jesus did not come out of me, what did St. Paul said? I'm nothing. See, he's not against knowledge. But when knowledge becomes your love, or languages become your love, then you have nothing. Do you understand what he's saying? Well, Mother Teresa went over all of that. She didn't care if she knew the mystery. She knew one mystery, that somehow in the rotting flesh of a leper, there was God. Oh, she knew the whole thing. And if I give away all I possess, piece by piece, and even if I let them take my body to burn it, but I don't have any love, it would do me no good whatsoever. You see, people pouring gasoline on themselves in order to make a statement. All of that pain is nothing. If you've ever gotten close to Mother Teresa, you might have noticed her feet. Thick with calluses and terribly contorted, you know, just terrible looking. She walked the world with those feet. out of love for Jesus. She said one time, we are not social workers. Oh, did you hear what she said? I am not a social worker. I want to be Jesus to my neighbor. I want to see Jesus. I want to lift him up from the garbage heap. If we don't understand Mother Teresa, then we will only lament that she can no longer help these people. We're going to miss the whole point. We're going to get a canonized somebody or anybody who's going to live with any man they want to live with and do the craziest things. Maybe we just don't want to change our lives. Maybe we want to think that you can do anything you please. You can offend God as much as you want if you're kind to your neighbor. But see, it makes it all a lie here. That's all a lie. Mother Teresa, somebody called me and said, well, what do you think of Mother Teresa? I thought I'd tell you tonight. Mother Teresa lived the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There was one time she was past a garbage heap and she saw it moving. And she went over to it and there was a woman dying that was beaten up by her son. And Mother Teresa took her out with all the stench and danger of garbage and held her and said to her, you must forgive. And she said, how can I forgive my son when he beat me up to a point I'm dying? And she said, you must forgive. Say, I forgive you, my son. She said, I can't. And Mother Teresa said, please, you're dying. Don't die like that. She said, I can't. And Mother held her fast and kept saying, please, don't die like that. Say, son, I forgive you. Finally, the woman said, son, I forgive you. And because she said that, she suddenly found peace. Was she a Christian? No. No. Mother didn't know who she was. She was a human being made to the image and likeness of God. She died as soon as she forgave. See, that goes way beyond social work. It goes way beyond just doing something nice to your neighbor. Mother always saw Jesus in everybody, from the greatest to the worst. She really believed what our Lord said, what you do to the least of my brethren, you do to who? To me. That's what he said. Love is always patient and kind. I'm sure Mother had her days. You can't live in that kind of society and always be patient and always be everything. No, you try, you struggle. You cannot be a superior over 4,000 people and not have struggle. We're all different. She was never jealous. When I was on the plane with Mother, that 8 hours, I went over and talked to her. She's a very simple woman. She's playing with a doll that somebody gave her. And every time you squeeze the doll, I would cry. Then she'd feed it something and some water or something. I never knew where the water went, but I had a good idea. But she got a kick out of it. I said to her mother, why don't you come and be on the network and let me interview you? She looked at me and smiled. She said, oh, mother, you and I have opposite work to do for God. Let us pray for each other, that we please Him, that we both do the work God has given us to do. She wasn't really interested in anything. She was not jealous. Sister, you do great work for God. You must do your work and I must do mine. She wasn't jealous. Never boastful or conceited. She was none of those things. By that time when I was with her, she had over 400 and some convents all over the world. She gave me a little book. She said, see what God has done. Awesome. She was not conceited or boastful. Never rude or selfish. When she was in a plane, and Pan Am always gave her, paid for her fare, gave her free fare, and always first class. And she'd sit down in the back seat. And whatever food she didn't eat, she'd go around, try to give it to the people that were there. And one time she was in a plane, she collected all the food in her little bag for the poor. So when they got out of the plane, I bet that was the most uncomfortable ride anybody there ever had. Considering how wasteful we are, you know. When you get on a plane, and did you know now you got to bring your own lunch in the bomb bag? They got great big things there, you know, and they say, please bring your lunch. And if you don't pick up a brown bag and go in there, you get nothing. I said, my God, even when I went to school, I never had a brown bag. Now you pay $1,000 to go from this place to that place, and you pick up a brown bag. Now, mother would have walked past there and she'd say, blessed be God, and I walked past and said, that's stupid. I bet that brown bag didn't cost $2. No? But yeah, I don't think like this holy woman, you know, I thought, Mother was never took offense. I've read some of her books, her sayings, her prayers. And she's always to forgive somebody who hurt her because, why, the only Jesus did that. Here's someone who lived this paragraph. And listen, let me tell you something. She was highly criticized in her life. She was criticized by the liberal nuns in our country. Had nothing else to do. One said, oh, she's only a social worker. No. If that's all you got out of Mother Teresa, you missed the whole boat of this book. You have missed the entire scripture. You have missed the work of the church. If you think for a moment that's all she was. She's a woman who understood the gospel. I'm still on chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. Is not resentful. When things would happen that were very unfair, or things were very unjust, slander and calumny. One man, I think in England, wrote a terrible book about it. Well, it didn't bother. Her first thought was, well, God knows. It doesn't matter. Forgive him, Lord. See, the purpose, you know, one time, I think a couple of weeks ago, we read the passage in St. Paul. It says, it's a wicked age, and your lives should redeem it. What does that mean? Jesus redeemed? There's only one redeemer. What he meant was that your example of living the gospel is what gives people strength, courage, knowledge of God, and the courage to say, I could, if she could do it, I could do it. Love takes no pleasure in other people's sins. Oh, we have totally forgotten that. Why were all these people on motorcycles running after Princess Diana? Hoping for what? Scandal. For goodness sake, what can you do in a car when you're going 190 miles an hour? What do you do? Expect to run past them and wave? Why go for scandal? Why hope for scandal? Why write about scandal? Do you notice when you go out, you buy groceries, you buy, what do you buy? Well, you buy a steak, or you buy a hamburger, or you buy wieners. We're going to buy 1 to 3. Most of the time, we buy hot dogs, and they're not too hot. I haven't tasted a good hot dog in 50 years. And don't tell me what's in them either. Because I don't want to know. No piece of meat looks that beautiful in that base. And they're all the same color. You notice that? No piece of meat ends up the same color. Not cut from the same place. Anyway, I don't want to get on hot dogs. But you see, we crave scandal. You go up and you picked out your food, you got milk, nice clean stuff. Well, you hope, you know. You hope your cows don't have 28 shots of penicillin in it before you got the milk. And I mean, it's a discouraging event when you go and buy stuff and then you wonder, I wonder how they made this. So there you are, though. You've overcome everything. And you got to wait in line at a grocery store. You know, you just go and pay and leave. What do they do? What does every grocery store do? They put magazines there that are immoral. Women half-dressed, gossip, and what? Scandal. Scandal. One is killed because they pursue some scandal. One had everything, ended up with nothing. One had nothing, ended up with everything. It's been quite a week. Quite a week. I think Princess Diane needs prayers now and not a lot of bogus tears and sympathy. Prayers. I think Mother Mary Teresa, Mother Teresa is in heaven. She looked at the worst of us and found good. She never, never went after scandal because she did what the gospel said to do. She tried with all her heart not to be rude or selfish or take offense, and she was never resentful. Always ready to excuse. she'd say things like, well, we don't know. Only God knows. She's ready to trust, to hope, and to endure whatever comes. And someone like Mother Teresa, she was condemned for what she did, and she was condemned for what she didn't do. There are no in-betweens when you do work like she did. The people either love you or hate you. But she didn't care. She prayed for both. Those who hated her, those who said slanderous remarks or wrote slanderous books. But she had her eyes on Jesus. Love does not come to an end. Does not come to an end. Why? It's the only thing we have when we die. Faith goes away, hope goes away. The only thing that remains is love. You know, one time when she was at her first heart attack, she was in the hospital in California. She tried to bribe the nurses. She said, I've got to get to China. I need to open a house there. If you get me out of this place, I'll take you with me. Her love never ended. Never stopped. But there, if there are gifts of prophecy, the time will come when they fail. Listen now, you see, she wasn't carried. You know, I look at Mother Teresa's face and they seem to accentuate her wrinkles now, you know, all big, big upfront pictures. You notice that now? They want you to see how wrinkled she was. They can't even look at a holy person and do something nice. They bring in all these, looks like a map, a road map on her face. But it tells me something. It tells me this woman really suffered. She cried over the misery of mankind, who insists on discarding the poor. Today we murder the innocent, the unborn. We want to do away with people who are just old. They didn't do anything wrong. They're not lepers, not full of disease. They're not causing any problems. I want you to see the difference between society and Mother Teresa. She took care of them. We're saying, oh, well, if you're going to have a Down syndrome child, you better abort it. We have totally lost the gift of the cross. We're survival of the fittest. Mother Teresa knew this book and she loved this book. We had a convent in Italy a couple of years, a little monastery. Our sisters were near the piazza of the Basilica on St. Peter, and they went to visit, and she happened to be there. And one of our sisters said, oh, I like that plaque. What does it say? And she took it off and read it to her, and she said, here, you can have it. Hmm. The gift of languages will not continue forever. The knowledge, too, the time will come when it must fail. You say, oh, it's all discouraging. No, use it for God's glory and honor. But we can't hold on to it as if that's all there is. One of the things I like about Mother Teresa is she was totally detached from human respect, and from herself. Well, our knowledge is imperfect, our prophesying is imperfect. All imperfect things will one day fall away. The greatest strength that Mother Teresa had was the Eucharist. Our Lady and the Eucharist. Those of you who doubt the real presence, look at Mother. She got that strength to hold a leper in her arms with great love. Save his soul and kiss his forehead. And gave him at that moment to God. We here in America, we have one thing in mind: get rid of the elderly and kill the unborn. And then we will have maybe a great society. No, you will have hell. Hell on earth. And living in hell forever. Mother Teresa was that total self-giving, detached, compassionate woman. And St. Paul says, when I was a child, I used to talk like a child and think like a child, argue like a child. Now I'm a man. I've done away with childish things. The day she looked out of her comfortable convent and saw the people in India uncared for, unloved, dying like flies. Who cares? She couldn't stand it any longer. It made her a saint. But more than that, it gave us an example of what it means to live the gospel today. I want to read you one of her prayers, because I think if we look at all of her prayers, this is the one to me is the most important for you, for me, and for this country. And then we'll go for calls. Heavenly Father, you have given us a model of life in the Holy Family of Nazareth. Help us, O loving Father, to make our family another Nazareth, where love, peace, and joy reign. May it be deeply contemplative, intensely Eucharistic, and vibrant with joy. Help us to stay together in joy and sorrow through family prayer. Teach us to see Jesus in the members of our family, especially in their distressing disguise. Oh, what a prayer. To see Jesus in our families, especially in their distressing disguise. And may the Eucharistic heart of Jesus make our hearts meek and humble like his, and help us to carry out our family duties. How? In a holy way. May we love one another as God loves each one of us. That's the new commandment. He loves us more and more each day. And may we forgive each other and each other's faults as you forgive our sins. Help us, O loving Father, to take whatever you give. Listen to this sentence. to take whatever you give and to give whatever you take with a big smile. Want to read that again? All of you that are bitter because God took a loved one 20 years ago, or he didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted him to. Help us, O loving Father, to take whatever you give and to give whatever you take with a big smile. Help us, O Holy Father, to make our families one heart full of love in the heart of Jesus through Mary. A valiant woman. I hope our liberal women, lay and nuns and sisters, wherever you are, you want to raise up women in the world, or you've done a pretty lousy job. I've never seen women so degraded in my whole life. In television, radios, and magazines. They make you look like exalted prostitutes. Well, if I were you, I think all of us tonight must thank God that there is one more saint in heaven. And she's ours, in our day, in our lifetime. And I hope they do away with all the shenanigans you gotta go through to get canonized, for goodness sakes. She shouldn't have to wait. Sure, she had her faults and her weaknesses. I'm sure it takes a saint to live with a saint. God, those are scales that fall and fell off of her like they do from a fish. God is not a puny God. He's an awesome God. He's a loving God, a forgiving God. For one who served him in the worst of the poor, the most destitute, the most deprived, the ones that the world said, let's shove them off in a big heap and put a bonfire there. They're taking up money and time, society. This little woman with creases in her face deep enough that you could put your finger in there. Was not concerned about what the world thought or felt. She took whatever God took away. She gave everything she had to the Lord. For some of you who have internet, we have quite a lot about Mother Teresa. I pray, and I hope you will pray, the Holy Father will do away with all these five-year things, and the first miracle, and then the second miracle. Mother's life is a whole miracle. So, I'll give you this, www.awtn.com, whatever that means. If you got the right brains and the right finger touching the right keys, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And if you're a dummy like me, forget it. If you have children, ask your four-year-old. He'll find it. We have a call. Hello?
Hi, Mother.
Hi.
Is Genevieve. How are you?
I'm fine, dear.
Good. I have a two-part question.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, how can we love our neighbor and how can we fall in love with God?
Yeah.
And I'll hang up and listen to you. Thanks, Mother.
That's a big question, but it shouldn't be. We love by loving. You can't love Mother said in that little prayer to appreciate people in their disguises. Some of our great saints were smelly. One of them never took a bath, had maggots crawling all over him. See, that's a saint. Well, he did it in reparation for being so fastidious. All of us have faults and weaknesses that are annoying to us and annoying to everybody else. But we have to live with them, and we have to live with ourselves. We have to go beyond ourselves. We have to give whatever God takes and take whatever God gives with as much love as we can at the moment. You're not a great saint overnight. If we did what our dear Lord asked us to do, to live in the present moment, he's sufficient for the day, he said, is the evil thereof. Tomorrow you don't have, he said. Tell Angel Foligno, he said, the past is dead. The future unborn. I only have this moment to love you. We love people by wishing them well. By not being all the things St. Paul does, not resenting them, not being prejudiced against them or resentful. Is it easy? No. Our Lord never said you shall feel loving or you shall feel forgiving. We'll never feel that way. We are within us and have within us the consequences of original sin. And the best way to fall in love with God, then I can love my neighbor. You cannot love your neighbor on your own. We must love our neighbor and let the overflow of God's love in you, in me, touch our neighbor. That's what we have to do. And what does it mean to be in love with God? It means that his will is supreme in my life. Will I like it? No. Our Lord reminded us of that. He said there were two sons. The father said, go into my field. The one said, yes, never went. The other said, no, I am not going in the field. I have other things to do. I'm paraphrasing now. Don't look for it in the scripture. But then the Lord said, well, he felt sorry, and he went. What question did the Lord ask? Did he say, which one felt good about this whole thing? Or which one went with great love and joy? No, he said, which one did the Father's will? He said, well, the one who went. See, do God's will. And it's evident. This morning I get up and I didn't want it to rain, but it rained. I looked out the window and it was raining. I said, okay, Lord. Praise your holy name. I still wanted it to get dry. But it doesn't matter what I want. Doesn't matter what we want. The whole thrust in my life, in your life, must be, what does God want? Now you say, well, I don't know what he wants. Oh, come on. The present moment shows us what he wants. Many times it's pain and suffering. You see, Mother Teresa was not afraid of pain and suffering or disappointment. You can't do what she does without 100,000 disappointments. If God asks you to do anything, you must go prepared with prayer, a lot of it, suffering, a lot of that, and love for his presence in the Eucharist and Our Lady. If you got those tools, you can do anything for God. Just try to accept whatever comes, the good, the bad, the indifferent. Not with our feelings. They come and go. They're like the wind. but with our heart full of love and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you. For this joy or for this cross. For answering my prayer, thank you, Jesus. For not answering my prayer, thank you, Jesus. That's all it takes. It's not hard to be holy. Jesus would not allow us to have grip. Our will does not allow us to be holy. We're like the woman who lived in the bottom of a big mountain. And she wanted to move that mountain. I mean, she hated that mountain. On the other side were meadows and flowers. She wanted the other side. So she reads a scripture one day. What does that mean? Time out. Anyway. Is that what that means in football? Anyway. She read that if you had faith like a mustard seed, you'd move a mountain. So she said one night, Lord, I think I have the faith of a mustard seed. I want that move tomorrow morning. She woke up. She looked out the window. And there was the mountain. Well, she said, just like I thought. Still there, and you didn't answer my prayer. Most of us live our whole lives sour grapes. We're always mad at God for not doing something we wanted. Without realizing that what he wants is always the best. We have another call. Hello?
Good evening, Mother Angelica.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Thank you for taking my call. Mother, I was wondering, how long is the canonization process for someone like Mother Teresa? And the criteria the church sets up, I'm not sure if I heard you say there's 5 years wait and if miracles were attached to that or not.
Well, it's a long process. First you're a servant of God, then you're venerable. 50 years pass since. Then you're blessed. Another 50 years, you're canonized. Well, I think if that's okay for somebody we don't know or somebody 3,300 years ago, I think the miracle of Mother Seton was they dispensed with the miracle. I watch all those nuns writing to me and say, they said, she had two miracles. Okay, okay, she had two miracles. I think it's foolish to wait so long. St. Francis didn't have, she would never canonize. It was the voice of the people who canonized St. Francis. One year, Teresa Little Flower, whose great anniversary we celebrate this year, I think it was 20, 24 years. They thought, oh, wow, that's a short time. I think it was long. What do you got to have, for goodness sakes? It's evident to all of us that only God could do what Mother Teresa accomplished. It is also evident that only Mother Teresa lent herself to God to be used totally. I hope the voice of the people will cry out to Rome and the Holy Father. Let us dispense, let us say, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. That's my humble idea. May she pray for us. And may she pray that we too will understand the gospel and love Jesus as she did. God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow night.